handle the truth.
Should we or should we not follow the advice of the galactically stupid?
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
You're all a bunch of fucking assholes. You know why? You don't have the guts to be what you want to be. You need people like me. You need people like me so you can point your fucking fingers and say, that's the bad guy.
Clearly, don't know who you're talking to, so let me clue you in. I am not in danger, Skyler. I am the danger. A guy opens his door and gets shot, and you think that of me? No. I am the one who knocks.
To another episode of the Righteous Prick Podcast. I'm your host, J.L. Covan. I've got that morning bass because it's 7:53 a.m. on October 19th in the year of our Lord, 2020. And couldn't sleep last night. The usual fits of, I don't know what it is, COVID and Twitter and comedy and stress. And so I'm up and just sitting around and don't want to start the workday. So I figured instead of a lunch, I'll go work out during my lunch hour today. To stave off death. So instead I thought I'd start this before the righteous girlfriend has to go to work later today. And Cookie doesn't like to come out before 9 o'clock because she hates the world. So I've got the kitchen to myself to do some, as the president would say, powerful podcasting. I'm not sure that there's a lot to report on. This might be one of those mopey episodes. I don't know. I'll try not to be. But I think I've been shadow banned on Twitter, which is just the latest indignity to my comedy career. Shadow banned, for those that don't know, it's a term I had heard, and sometimes, and ironically enough, Donald Trump Jr. was claiming the same thing yesterday, but he was claiming across all platforms. He was in bed, basically, as people have pointed out, doing... Oh boy. He basically looked like me doing the Trump videos with COVID, where I have the blanket and the Trump thank you for everybody who knows what I'm doing and has seen what I'm doing. You guys respond with the correct sort of appreciation and accolades. But most people, Donald Trump Jr. looked like he was doing one of my videos. It's very bizarre, but he's claiming, Instagram's blocking me and Twitter's by, I'm not claiming anything on any other platform except Twitter because the numbers are so absurd. Just to give you a breakdown, I was averaging like 200,000 views per video, even as late as mid-August. And so that was good. And those, obviously, when more people see that, that means more people see the YouTube clips, and then more people click on the YouTube clips. So my YouTube views were getting, 80,000, 100,000, which is all monetized, which is great. So if you're listening to this, I know this is a smaller subsection of my fans, but thank you for listening to this. But make sure you're subscribed to the two YouTube channels and that you watch videos there, because it costs you nothing and it pays me. And it's been, YouTube's been very good to me this year, just like Cameo has been very good. Now, the thing that makes me nervous is those two sources of income I expect to drop significantly, not entirely, but significantly in 2021, assuming Trump is out of office, because if he's not out of office, I don't want to do the Trump impression anyway. So, that income is mostly, I would guess, 2020 and, up until Joe Biden's hopeful inauguration. I expect those to be very robust and then to drop off. until I either get some other fame or get to tour and where people will want cameos from me just because they know who I am as a comedian, not just because it's timely. And YouTube, same thing. What I hope to do when you know, is everybody always asks me, what are you going to do when Trump's done? And I'm like, well, the same thing I did for 16 and a half years before you discovered me in March, which is stand-up, which is fuller sketches when I can do them. I've been wanting to do sketches with a full cast like I used to. You see, I have, you know, they cost me a lot of money in the aggregate, you know, editing and paying for videographer and sound. Like, I put a lot of money into my sketches, and most of them didn't bear anything other than like, hey, that's a good sketch, I like that. Almost none went viral, et cetera, things like that. But I took great pride in them, and now that I have, like, you know, instead of 2,000 subscribers, I have 60,000 subscribers, or 85,000 if you go across the two channels. So now there's an audience, even if nothing goes viral beyond that, there's now a built-in audience for me making better content. But I can't do that because you can't make, you know, I'm not a Hollywood studio. I don't have protocols and thermometers, you know, non-contact thermometers to film YouTube sketches. So hopefully in 2021, I can get back to doing those kind of sketches. You know, just more SNL style where I'm, you know, got a cast and some sets and some makeup and some, you know, just more fun and more detailed kind of things. I have some ideas, but who knows, they'll probably not be fresh by the time we can get back to filming like that and collaborating like that. So that's one thing that I'd do. And then obviously stand-up. And, you know, I don't expect stand-up clips unless it's something very timely or powerful. You know, but it would be nice to, instead of posting a stand-up clip and getting 800 hits, it'd be cool to get, you know, 10,000 hits for a stand-up clip. So I'm prepared and happy to move on from Trump and to hopefully get my career. But the, you know, as I say almost every week, it's becoming a mantra. You know, it's almost the end of 2020, the biggest year of my career by miles, and I don't have a manager or an agent, and you know that makes me worried. As I always say, because it's not that it worries me because it's like I don't think I know what it takes. I think I joked with my friend Chris Lamberth, who I'm on his podcast this week, the Mundane Festival. So check that out. We talk comedy, politics, movies, you know, the usual stuff we talk about. But it was fun catching up with Chris. But I said maybe I have like the Hillary Clinton thing where it's like, well, the experience and the talent for the job is there, but we just don't like you. I mean, if it sort of feels like that sometimes, and I don't say that, hopefully this isn't supposed to be the mopey part of the show, but hopefully that doesn't sound mopey, because the whole point I'm saying is, you know, it's okay if I don't have it. I don't know what it is, but something has, you know, I've been top of my game for 7 years and now I'm sort of viral and have a lot of fans, and I still can't get even an email or a phone call from anybody interested in repping me. It's, I don't know. Am I the wrong age? Am I the wrong, do I look like the wrong demographic for the time? I genuinely don't understand at this point. But, you know, I keep doing what I've been doing because I'm at least making money with these comedy pursuits right now. So there's a clear net good in that. And I have a job to fall back on, which, you know, I'd love to leave. But it's, you know, I'm in a very fortunate place relative to many, many people in 2020. But all that, you know, trying to get a special, trying to get some more work, I don't know if any of it's going to happen. And it's bizarre because I've seen, you know, everyone else, and this sounds weird, but everyone else that I've seen sort of emerge through this time as like a either viral sensation or Twitter comedian or whatever, they all have management. They all have, I mean, ranging from, you know, the Sarah Cooper sort of William Morris team to other people that I've seen and even collaborated with that have had sort of similar 2020s as me. They have more followers now, which we'll get to the shadow banning in a second. But I'm still in a sort of rare company, and I'm the only one. Forget having a manager. None even contact me. So I don't know what the future of my career is. This is in a weird way sort of what my worst case scenario was in April or March, when I was like, I guess it's going to happen for me, folks. We'll see. But you know, something might happen. But it's already turned into a bigger deal than I've ever had. And we're, you know, 7 months later, and I have no representation, and it's to me, it's weird. I have celebrities following me. I have celebrities retweeting me. I have political figures and reporters retweeting me. I have fans now checking out my stand-up and commenting on my stand-up, not just my Trump. So I think I've done it in the best way I could to sort of both get my name out there through Trump, but expand people's appreciation and knowledge of what I do through other clips and other posts. That said, that's what yesterday dawned on me was really a low day for me, because I was looking at my numbers and I think I've been shadow banned. Now, shadow banned is an internet term or whatever for basically when a company, when one of the tech companies starts to sort of suppress your material. They don't ban you from the platform. You haven't violated any rules, but I guess your content is maybe too provocative or pushing certain boundaries or buttons. I don't know. But when I look at the numbers and I look at contemporaries of mine who admittedly have gotten more followers than me, but there's Sarah Cooper is in another stratosphere. So I don't even compare myself to her because she got into the millions of followers, which is just, you're in a whole other level at that point, and she's gotten so much press coverage. There's no use or value in comparing there, but like two comedians on Twitter, Brent Terhune, who I've actually worked with, he does sort of the MAGA character, like the dumb Trump supporter character, and then this comedian, I don't know her, but Blair Erskine, who's very popular as well for sort of doing the Southern. She plays like whenever somebody's in the news related to Trump, she usually is playing like a woman MAGA supporter or a daughter of a famous person or a wife of a famous person in the news. And she's, you know, Brent and I were neck and neck in followers, like lockstep for about 3 months. And then from July to today, he's surpassed me by 200,000 followers. Okay. And Blair was way down there. And then now she's got like 40,000 followers more than me. No, that's not my issue. But my issue is, why did I all of a sudden start, like, why did the brakes get pumped on my videos and my followers? Like, why did I pick up 135,000 followers in a 4 month span and then only another 4,000 in the next 2 months, despite the momentum and getting more press coverage and things like that, whereas these other people kept rising? And I think it may be linked to the videos a fan of mine made, and I don't regret this because I thought they were funny, and his account is called Parody is Legal, and his videos, but he was, you know, making sort of tricky videos that looked like they used my voice and content to make it look like Trump was going off the rails in interviews or saying things on hot mics. They were very popular videos, but then they got fact-checked by news sources. And I think that may have triggered something with my account, like that now I was sort of being suppressed a little bit, which is very disheartening because Twitter, you know, has been the engine of my renaissance, my career renaissance. And I've, morning coffee break, guys, not tea. It's been the engine of my career coming back, and I've done nothing but make funny content, except for, yeah, some serious posts. And that's the other thing. I had my publicist was trying a couple of months ago, was trying to do ads, was trying to make ads for me on Twitter. And my account was banned from doing ads because I was a political account. And I thought, yeah, I make the occasional serious post, but I think the reason I've been labeled a political account is because I've done 100 Trump imitation videos. And I'm like, So is political comedy, or is it? And you, to me, I was like stunned. I was like, wait, so now because I've been doing political humor, I'm now a political person and can't do ads, but a comedian who's never uttered a political word in their life can make all the ads they want. So that was the first sort of conflict I had with Twitter. And I said, okay, that sucks, but I guess we can't do ads on Twitter. But that bothered me, because yes, I make a few serious posts, but I don't think that doesn't make me, I'm not a political actor. But then, you know, my popular Trump impersonation videos, I guess the name Trump appeared and I looked, you know, maybe their algorithm just registered me as like pro-Trump or anti-Trump. And then I can't advertise a Q&A or a product because I'm now considered political, but I obviously am not doing political ads. So that was my first sort of taste of, oh shit, like, so Twitter is limited in what it can do for me. But the shadow ban, it's hard to see that it's not happening, because I posted that last night and I had many people saying, oh, I thought you'd stop doing videos. Now, that's hilarious. If you've been following my Twitter account and been getting notifications, you know, you can click a bell on my page, which I guess makes sure that you always get notified of my tweets. I never tell people to do that because there'll be days where I tweet a lot and I don't want to bother people, but you expect people to see your content. But now, just as an example, a typical video when I was, you know, and I'm talking 3 months in, not like the first week or month of my rise, the first, you know, I'd post a video and it would be in the first hour between 10 and 20,000 views. I knew I had a one that was killer if it was at 20,000. I knew I had a typical one if it was at 10,000. Now my videos, with the exception of two, which oddly enough did not follow the format of my usual videos, which is me doing the selfie video in one of my bedrooms, those videos don't get pumped up anymore. The two videos that got pumped up were a little bit and should have been much bigger. The Trump dance instruction video, which I'll get to in a little bit, is at like 250,000. But based on the retweets and the celebrities sharing it, that shit should have been in the millions. I'm just basing this off of all the other videos I've done. That video should be in the millions of hits, not in the hundreds of thousands, because it was getting a lot of high profile retweets. But even though it's getting retweeted, it's being registered as sort of my content, I guess, and being kind of diminished in its reach. And the other one was a voiceover, where it wasn't me on camera. It was just my voice and Trump on TV. So those two are the exceptions in the last 2 to 3 months of videos that have blown up for me. And yeah, it's very disheartening, because you don't know what to do and you don't know how to change that. And it's like, I feel like I'm being it's weird. I feel like I'm being treated like some alt-right news source when it's just, I'm just a comedian doing a really good impression of Trump. So this just raises the urgency for me, and I don't know what to do, unfortunately. I just know that what needs to be done, but I don't know how to get it done. Clearly, I can't get a manager or an agent, so I don't know what getting a special or a tour seems like. Just as impossible, if not more so, without even the gatekeepers to make the contacts and make the arrangements for 2021, because that's been the goal. I can't wait to get out of the Trump comedy world so people can actually see what I can do and see what I've done for 17 years. But so that's the shadow banning thing. So pray on it, fans. We need to pray on this. And no, I don't. It's just, it's disheartening, because it's like you feel like I'm just stuck in a limbo, and it's like, okay, I'm making this good content. And now, I mean, and the reason I know it is because a couple of women who commented on Twitter and said, yeah, I haven't seen your posts in a while. It's one thing, I have a lot of followers, so, you know, you don't know everybody's face and avatar and name, but there was one woman who said that, who I did recognize her, because she was commenting on almost every post every day. She did, like a lot of people do, but I remember her. She was probably tweeting at me, you know, 5 times a week, like saying, this is so funny, or asking a question about a book. And she said she thought I stopped posting, which anybody who follows my page would find that absurd. The people who do see my work are probably like, he sure could post a little less. But then to have somebody who has actually been engaged with your channel, like very consistently, thinking that you stopped posting is alarming. Because then you go, oh my, like, so now the fan base that I built is not seeing what I did. And it's not, I'm not out there spreading fake news and hate and like dangerous messages. And yet my videos that are comedy have seemed to have had the same effect as if I was like a serious news person spreading lies. So that's the update from the career, I guess. And that's why that was one of the reasons why I was having trouble sleeping last night. And I hate this. I hate the fact that all this is in my head at this point. I'd like it out of my head. But until I reach that point, until I have a tour and I'm getting paid nicely by comedy clubs and can quit the day job, like I'm stressed about this. And I'm always going to be stressed. So every fuck up, especially one as significant as a shadow ban on Twitter, you know, I quit Facebook because it's a piece of shit. But let's be honest, Facebook would have helped me immensely this year. I still have people who didn't follow me to YouTube or Twitter who are like, sorry, dude, good luck. And I'm like, you won't follow me to another free website that isn't as actively, isn't as active in destroying American democracy? Okay. But the truth is, if I was on YouTube right now, that would be helping me. That would be, you know, if I had stayed on YouTube, I'd probably have tens of thousands of followers there. And that would be, and some of those would not be overlap fans. A lot of them would be people who aren't on Twitter and would just be following me on Facebook. They have their own set of problems, but it's like, you look at it and go, what am I supposed to do if my fan base that I have cultivated is being restricted? You know, what's the point? Like, it's almost like I have 144,000 followers, which is a great number and a big number and a real reach. But the numbers reflect like me having like 20,000 followers, which, hey, if you told me a year ago you're going to have 20,000 followers in 2020, I would have been like, sweet, that's five times what I have right now. But it's 1/7 of the impact I should be having. So I don't know what to do, but it's very stressful. And I hate that it's stressing me, but until I get to where I want to be, I have to worry about all these social media metrics and shit like that. So the second thing is the Trump dance. I posted a video. It's only a minute long. I posted it to TikTok and I posted it to Twitter and YouTube. And it's definitely my most viewed YouTube video of the last probably month. So that's good. That's paying some money. And I'm glad because it was just basically, it was my, you know, my take on his Trump dance. I wasn't trying to copy the dance. I was doing, making fun of the hand gestures. And then, you know, much like people who listen to Making Podcasts Great Again, incorporating some of the jokes, you know, that I've developed on that show. But I thought, okay, this is funny. And it's original. And that was the one that got retweeted by like Jane Lynch and Rex Chapman and some major, major people on Twitter. You know, people with the, in the millions of followers. And that's why I know that was actually that one. I said to my girlfriend, I said, that one's going to get like that fucking thing's going to get a million hits. And then it didn't. It's just kept the numbers never got where they usually did. When I'd say, oh, 10,000. No, it's at 6,000. Oh, is it going to be 100,000? No, it's at 40,000. Like just based on number of retweets and the significance of the people retweeting it, something was up. But then I was laughing because, of course, on TikTok, the bane of my existence, a woman did a video where she duetted. She did, and if you're not familiar with TikTok, that basically means you do it allows you to split the screen so that the original video is on one side and you're on the other. And she did sort of a fairly good replica of his, you know, simple dance moves. And that thing's at like millions of hits, I believe, now. And I'm laughing going, this is exactly, and nobody, you know, once again, the Righteous Prick podcast is like, you know, in my exclusive club of fans who actually know what I'm doing, this is the penthouse. This is the more exclusive. So I'm talking to the people who already probably give a shit about my career and follow it, you know, seriously. But this was exactly like the episode last week. I mean, to a T, it was like, so funny, original take on the Trump dance. 60,000 views on YouTube, 250,000 views on Twitter. Woman copies Trump dancing, adding nothing to it, millions of hits. And now you're going to have, obviously, thousands of people copying that if they already haven't. Which goes to my thing of like, so being a creator is not as incentivized right now as being a copier. And I hate that. And the Trump dance video, because that's, I agree with all the people who wrote to me and said, I think this might be your best one. It was short. It wasn't as much vocal work, but it was just capturing sort of the Making Podcasts Great Again version of Trump that I've created over the last 3 years. So thanks to those who watched it, but it was just further illustrative of what I've been complaining about in comedy and social media. It was like, wait, so I put this up the night he fucking did it. The night he was getting roasted for his dance moves, I said to the girlfriend who just rolls her eyes and has been a fucking patient saint during all this bullshit that I've been trying to produce under a lot of stress. I said, okay, let's go. Let's just here, take the camera, set this up. I got to do this. And we just did that video a few takes. Cause I laughed at a couple cause I was coming up with the shit on the spot. So sometimes I surprise myself, with what I say. And then we posted it and it seemed to do really well, but not as well as people who are just standing there silently copying Trump's dance moves. So that's the world we live in. I get shadow banned for, you know, and that's the thing with my Trump impression. If you look at it, its life cycle has been so weird. You know, I did it on Adam Carolla's show and ESPN Radio for years, never getting above just the fan bases of those shows appreciating it. It never got further than that, or farther. I always forget which is which, but So I was doing it on major platforms since 2014, ESPN Radio and Adam Carolla show, pretty big platforms, and doing videos. And it never blew up the way I needed to. I did have one video where I did a rap as Trump rebutting Eminem. That got like 275,000 hits. That was pretty good. But no media took attention, took note. No major people on Twitter took note, even though I was on these platforms. Okay, so we fast forward to 2020, March. I blow up. People are like, my God, what a great impression. April, Sarah Cooper. So by June is when I started getting messages from people telling me to stop copying Sarah Cooper. And I was like, wait, but I was first by several years. And even by Twitter COVID standards, I was first by 6 weeks. And so then I had to fight that battle and got eclipsed by somebody doing lip sync. My impression was now second place to somebody who wasn't doing an impersonation. So that was weird and frustrating. and it's like Glengarry Glen Ross, where it's like first prize you get a Cadillac, second prize you get a set of steak knives. I feel like I have the set of steak knives. Like first prize is Netflix, CBS, millions of followers, development deals, universal accolades across the entertainment spectrum. Second place, set of steak knives. So it's weird. And that was frustrating. And all my friends who said it wasn't going to happen, they were like, dude, you're too negative. You're too negative. I said, this is what's going to happen. I told them she was going to become a huge star and I didn't understand why. And it was going to eclipse my career and my rise. And my friends told me, maybe they wanted to be positive, but they told me like I was being too much raining on my own parade and being too negative. But it's exactly what happened. Like there's two things I know about comedy. That's this business sucks. Three things I should say. This business sucks. People are stupid. And my career doesn't seem to have what it takes. So those three factors are always my, you know, people can say you put out negative, positive energy. I didn't put out any positive energy and I didn't blow up because I put out positive energy. I blew up because I put out good content like I've always been putting out. But and once again, I hate that this is even sounding mopey. This is just matter of fact. So then she hasn't put out some videos in a while because she has her Netflix special coming out. So that's allowed a little more breathing room. But, you know, I've just been humming along, doing my thing. Got a nice write-up in the Washington Post last month. You know, just I've been putting together my next hour, whether that's a self-produced album or a self-produced special or, a produced special on a channel. Whatever that is, that's what's happening in 2021. I'm not going to stop doing what I've done my whole career, which is putting out good ass albums. So that's 2021. So I have my plan for 2021. It's keep my day job, try to make some other sketches and put out a new album or a first special. So that's I'm fine with that. I'm grateful for all my new fans, etc. And I'm grateful for how lucrative 2020 has been for me. But then yesterday, this guy, comedian, I think in LA, I don't know his name, but he had put out a video like 2 months ago or something. And I saw people tagging me and going, this guy's pretty amazing. And I thought his Trump impression legitimately sucked. I didn't understand what people were. I thought it was bad. Not like, oh, I can see what you like about that. I thought it was bad. And people were tagging. I was like, whatever. Well, people started tagging me again yesterday. And his impression is significantly better than it was. I don't think it's as good as mine, but it was actually, hey, this guy, okay. But now he's, and I kind of admire that. I like it when somebody's actually worked on something, because mine in 2014 was nowhere as good as it is now. So that's cool. But of course it becomes a competition again. And I feel like I've never gotten my moment to just get respect in this, because I'd like to move out of the Trump space. I'm an excellent stand-up comedian. So the faster I can pull a Marky, I feel like Marky Mark. I need fear. I need a movie like Fear right now. Like, everybody knows me as the Trumpy Bunch. Mark J.L. Coven and the Trumpy Bunch. But now I need a movie like Fear, and then hopefully this next special could be my Boogie Nights, where all of a sudden I become an A-list stand-up instead of just, you're the Trump guy. You know what I mean? Like, so that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping to... Mark Wahlberg hasn't fucking rapped in 25 years, and I'm sure he never will again. He hates being called Marky Mark. Marky Mark was his first start, but his agent, who I need his fucking number, whoever turned Marky Mark from a Boston wigger who attacked immigrants and blinded them into an A-list Oscar-nominated movie star, that's who I need, because I'm a much easier lift than that. All you have to do is take great stand-up who got famous for Trump and just let him be a great stand-up. That's a much easier lift than gang-banging white rapper from Boston now is a respected thespian who prays at 2:45 in the morning according to his Instagram posts. So that's what I need. I need Mark Wahlberg's agent. Because, like I said, much easier lift to turn me from a great comedian into a great comedian. I feel like, I can't wait to get out of the Trump space, but it's so funny. People are tagging me in posts that I really don't want to be tagged. And one guy said, I thought nobody could do Trump's voice and cadence better. I stand corrected. And that obviously infuriated me as a competitive person, but I'm not stupid. I can acknowledge if somebody's doing a good impersonation. I think he was doing a good one. I think mine is better. And it'd be nice if I could get respect for the literally 150 plus hours of content I've put out as Trump between the podcast and, you know, approximately 10 hours of content just since March with all the sketch videos, the reading videos, the Q&As, the pod, like it's an insane amount of improv output. But it's weird when you start seeing people going, this is the first good Trump impression I've seen in 4 years. Why is it happening in October 2020? And I'm going, wow, did nobody see my stuff? Like, it starts to feel like, is nobody seeing my stuff ever? And I think that's what happens. I got shadow banned for 2 months, it feels like. And I'm not... And now, instead of continuing to rise, instead of being at 200,000 followers and having more people see my impression, now it's almost like people are... Fans of mine are going, hey, you should really check out J.L. Coven. And I retweeted some woman with a big following yesterday who shared my video. She said, check this. This one's great too, his latest. So she's obviously somebody who's familiar with what I've done. But I haven't gotten a retweet from her in many months, if ever. So it's obviously, once again, somebody being shadow banned. But now I've gone from, wait, he was the first and the best. Obviously, I'm not the first person to impersonate Trump, but in terms of this year. And I've been fighting to get recognized. It's not like I started doing it this year. I've been trying, 2014 on the Adam Carolla show, I did it. So I've been fighting for a while to get recognized for this, 6 years until I finally blew up with it. And I went from, oh my God, he's great. And then a month later, it was like, stop copying Sarah Cooper. Sarah Cooper's the greatest. Everybody was retweeting her because, for reasons I've articulated and will articulate later on a special. Then it went to like, oh, JL's good, but he's shadow banned. Like, so now he's not competing with other impersonators, but we've shadow banned his account because some of his videos fooled people and had to get Twitter warnings on them. Okay, so I finally get the spotlight. That's like, you know what I mean? It's like finally making the playoffs, and then you blow out your ACL. That's what being shadow banned felt like. It was like, I've finally made the playoffs. I have a chance at a championship, a Trump championship, and now I blew my ACL. And then it gets to a point where people are saying, you should also check out J.L. Coven. And I'm like, people don't know who I am still in the Trump space, in the Trump impersonation space. So last night was very, just very tough for me. And I know these are such fucking little problems, but you have to understand it's being shadow banned means I can't expand my fan base. That's why I've been stagnant for 2 months. And if I'm stagnant in the space that I'm dominating or that I should be or was dominating, then they're limiting my biggest weapon. And all this was in service of transitioning to, what I've always been, which is a stand-up comedian. And as soon as, if I can get that one tour, you give me that one tour, let me trade off of the fame I've gotten in 2020. I will be considered an elite stand-up. There's no doubt. I've got my seventh hour ready to go. I've never been a headliner. As I've always said, I write and perform for the job I want, not the job I have. I've always kept up a headliner pace to my content. You know, I will have a seventh hour before I've hit my 18th anniversary in comedy. That's a killer fucking pace. And it's good. It's really good stuff. And this is the one that I need everybody to see. This is where I need, and being shadow banned. And then it's just funny to be, so you go from you're the best to stop copying Sarah Cooper to shadow banned to, oh, this guy's better than JL. I don't think he is. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. And I can acknowledge that I think his impression went from bad to good. So that's cool. And believe me, I don't want to occupy this space any longer, but it does always bother me feeling disrespected. But when tech is also sort of helping the disrespect, that's really disheartening, because this is the platform from which I can launch myself, hopefully. And if I'm being sort of blocked or diminished for reasons I don't understand, to be honest, like a comedian being banned for doing too accurate an impression, like that seems ridiculous. You know, it was shared from an account called Parody is Legal and nobody was picking up on it. You know, it's one of these things where you go, is it just better to be sort of mediocre? Are you more approachable? Are you more relatable? Are you easily more easily digested? And I'm not up there. That's why I've always said, coffee break. That's why I've always said Greg Giraldo is my hero as a stand-up. Incredibly smart guy. Incredibly thoughtful guy. Incredibly funny. But you never felt, and I've always said this, the Giraldo versus Dennis Miller comparison. Dennis Miller, when he does comedy, I know he's a fucking joke now, but at his peak, really talented comic, really smart, really well-read, but it was like such a flaunt of how well-read. And here, listen to all my references. Greg Giraldo didn't have to make references in his comedy. What he did was he just made very great stand-up, but stand-up that had to come from a sharp mind. More easily digestible by those not as smart as him, but it took a smart guy to do the comedy he does. That's what I've always wanted to do. And I thought by now I would have been... It's a weird thing to say. Nobody probably cares, but comedians would understand this. Like, I wanted to be the heir apparent to Greg Giraldo. Not that we had a relationship, but that's just the vote. That's the space I wanted to fill. Not just because we're both lawyers and comedians, but like his comedy. I think he was the second stand-up show I ever went to. I was in Columbus, Ohio, at a club that I would then audition at many years later with my then girlfriend, who was at medical school in Ohio, and we went to the Columbus Funny Bone. And it was to see Greg Giraldo, who I think I had seen maybe on Comedy Central, and was just like, oh, I like him. And she got tickets. He was there, I think, my birthday weekend or something when I was visiting. And she got tickets, and it was fucking awesome. My first stand-up show was seeing Bill Bellamy. So I was guilty of what I often complain about. Like, don't go see famous people. Go see the people you haven't heard of. They might be better comedians. Bill Bellamy was fine. I went with my brother. DC Improv, oddly enough. I was a college student, but I went, for a trip to DC with my brother, and we went to the DC Improv, did I know I was going to Georgetown Law School at the time? No. Did I know that the DC Improv would be the first club to ever pay me? No. So it's, I don't know, that sort of just cheered me up a little bit, thinking of the circle of JL's comedy life. You know, the first club I ever went to, I wasn't from DC. I didn't know I'd be going to school in DC, but the first comedy club I ever went to was the DC Improv. And the second comedy club I ever went to was the Columbus Funny Bone to see Greg Giraldo, one of my favorite comedians. And the Columbus Funny Bone would be a place that I would have to audition to get work at all the improvs and funny bones. So it's a real, it's crazy coincidence when you think about it randomly on a Monday morning when you should be doing work. But it's just, I don't know, rambling. But it's just funny to go from quickly disrespect to shadow ban to, oh, JL's also good. Like, that's what the woman tweeted. She was like, and I appreciate it. It got a lot of hits. But it was like, this guy's also good. And I go, wait, I just went from the Washington Post best impersonator and the LA Times and all this shit and 20 million views across platforms. No, actually, like 25 million views across platforms, not including Facebook, because I'm not on Facebook. And that's pretty big. That's a pretty big platform when you're talking, basically 25 million views just between Twitter and YouTube this year, but he's also good. And I'm like, wait, so I just went from a week as the GOAT to stop stealing from Sarah Cooper to Twitter has shadow banned me to, hey, you're also good. It's typical of my career, but I do appreciate you guys listening, because I know people who listen to this podcast, even if you get a little fed up sometimes with how dreary I can be or how mopey I can be, understand. I stopped going to a therapist this year because I don't do Zoom therapy. I don't want to do phone or Zoom. So you guys have sort of taken that role. So thank you. I guess I owe each of you $200 for this 45-minute session. So how about that? No, that's not a legally binding offer. Please please buy my albums. Instead of me paying you, please pay me some money for my content. I think that's it. But that's, you know, I know something's wrong with me, or I've become too stressed this year, because shit like that shouldn't be keeping me up at night. It's not that big a deal, except for some people, what you might see as, hey, who cares? You still have a big fan base. And I'm like, yeah, it's not about that. Like, this has never been about money. If I was about money, I would have quit comedy 9 years ago. When I was spending all my savings, thinking I was going to become a hero of comedy on the road and then get a deal and an agent and everything. So I would have quit comedy around 2011 if it was about money. And it's not about other people doing what I do or trying to do what I do. Oh, by the way, Alec Baldwin said rest in power, Jeffrey, on SNL. And I know it's possible that that's a coincidence. But the fact that that's been like a catchphrase on my Trump podcast, which does have about 20,000 listeners a week, that stung a little bit, you know, knowing that. Let me put you this way. Just I'll give you an early story from my comedy career that illustrates this point. I had a sketch. I was doing an Arnold Schwarzenegger impression on stage. It was pretty good, I'd say. You know, I have seen a guy on TikTok named Joe Gaudette. He's a voiceover actor, great impersonator. And I like him because he's a working guy. He doesn't know me from shit, but because I have nothing on TikTok, no real presence on TikTok. But he gets mad at his fans sometimes. And that I appreciate, because that's how I know he's like a working artist, not just some dude trying to get likes. You know what I mean? And there's a big difference between, as I've discussed last week. Everybody, if you're listening, if this is your first episode, last week's episode was a real good one. And there have been a few good ones recently, so feel free to go back and check. But he gets mad at his fans sometimes for either critiquing impressions or for asking stupid questions. And I like that, because that's how I know he's a real dude and a real artist, and not just somebody who's kind of trying to play the game exclusively for likes and fans. But he does a killer. His Arnold Schwarzenegger is like my Trump. It's really good. But I was doing a good Arnold. Like, compared to his, mine was maybe an A-, his is an A+. But I was... But I would talk about how I was half black to start my set, knowing even my comedy instincts then were on point, that I couldn't do a bit involving the N-word without sharing that, especially if you're coming up in D.C. Well, the bit, which crushed, was an Arnold Schwarzenegger family reunion. And, you know, it was Arnold walking. I can't do the voice right now, and I'm so out of practice of it. You know, I was like... But it was so dumb. It was so dumb, but the idea behind it became very famous. It was, this is one of the first bits I did, like the first killer bit I had. And it's not a killer bit, but it's the first bit that killed. Arnold Schwarzenegger, his name is so long, though. You know, they got to have an abbreviation at family reunions, right? And then it was basically Arnold calling everybody in his family a negger with an E. And it's him going around, don't you want to be a big, strong nigga like your Uncle Frank, instead of a lazy-ass nigga like your brother? And it was killing. And this is D.C. This is all black rooms. This is black comics that I'm open miking with. And, you know, but I was smart. I knew enough that I was like, yeah, they're going to think I'm some white dude just trying to get away with saying it. So I would say, you know, my first minute would be about being biracial. so that I, you know, so I would have pre-clearance to take off. It was kind of hacky, but it got killer laughs. And then like 6 months later, Dave Chappelle's show has the nigger family, the white family named N-I-G-A-R or E-R, maybe it was just spelled the exact same way. And I got multiple texts from like open mic buddies in DC saying, oh man, did you see Chappelle? Sorry, dude. Cause they were basically saying like, oh, you can't do that bit anymore. Cause people will think you're stealing it because nobody knows who the fuck you are. So if they hear you do that, they'll go, oh, that's just a ripoff of Chappelle. Now that was my first annoyance that hit me in comedy, but it was also the first time I said, hey, if it gets laughs from Dave Chappelle and Dave Chappelle's audience, then obviously maybe I had a good idea with that sketch. So I stopped doing it. So with that bit, I stopped doing it, but that was like a closing bit for me for my first year in comedy. And I, you know, and I, but I think that's sort of, it feels like that's what I've been chasing my whole career is like, oh, if more people could see how good I am, then I'd be fine. And people would see that I'm an original and that I'm a real superstar comedian. But what keeps happening is I keep getting people who even 6 months after my rise, 25 million plus views, go, oh, this guy's good also. Like when do I get to be the standard? I went from stealing from Sarah Cooper to shadow ban to also good. Which is why, as I've said, the sooner I get out, the healthier I'll be when I can get out of the Trump space. Not because it's so, what's it like being in his headspace? It's fine. I'm a talented person. I can do it and be safe. It's the comedy world that is stressing me out because all I want to do is tour and headline and put out a special and grow my fan base and travel and be able to be a full-time comedian and provide a good life using, you know, my best talent. So I don't know. That's where I'm at today. So thank you for listening to this early morning rant. Now it's time to do some legal work because legal work, as annoying as it is there for me. It's there for me with health benefits. It's there for me with no judgment. It doesn't tell me that Joshua does a better legal work than me. It's just there with a steady paycheck and a nice law firm laptop and health benefits. And not going to lie, can't wait for enrollment next month when I get to go in for dental and vision benefits. That's what I'm really excited about in November is getting Trump out and expanding my health benefits. So I don't have to, because my teeth may look good, but they're rotting from the inside. Just like my comedy. It's killing me on the inside, but it looks good and it sounds good. So that's it for this week, folks. I'm trying to think if there's anything to plug. Go vote for Joe Biden. I've already voted for Joe Biden. Straight Democratic ticket. Cory Booker. Senator Cory Booker. And I don't know. I guess that's it for today. Check out some of my albums if you haven't. Stream them. Everybody always asks me about Spotify. I'm like, if that's what you use, that's what you use. But they do pay the worst. Just keep in mind that they pay the artist by far the worst. But if that's your option or if money's tight, you know, then I always say, like, no, a listen is better than a not listen, but a paid listen is better than a regular listen. That's all. But all listens matter. That's what I say. Paid listens matter would be my t-shirt, but you know, I would agree also with all listens matter. But yeah, that's it. Obviously Making Podcasts Great Again, if you're not checking that out, it's just been an absolute beast this year, as we predicted. And I'm glad we really blew up the fan base with that one. And is there anything else to talk about? Just trying to remember before I let you go. No, I think we're good. We're good, folks. So thank you for listening. I know this was a little bit of a, this is a little more technical, a little more just dig into what's going on in my career. And like I said, I'll try to make next week super duper funny. But you know, sometimes life gets in the way of that. So have a great week, everybody. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Wear those masks. Don't be a dick. And I will see you next Tuesday.